Welcome back to a special edition Kentucky Derby Show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. Now, here's Anita Marks.
Exciting. It is the 147th racing of the Kentucky Derby, and joining me is Dan Torgman. You can see him all over America's Best Racing. Really, it's a one-stop shop. It's the best place to get all your racing news and insight. Dan, welcome in. This is going to be a fun hour. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's awesome to be here. Kentucky Derby back in May is nice, and just a great, great opportunity for all the listeners out there who like to put a bet down or two. This is the Derby to bet. It's really wide open, and we're looking to make some money today.
I certainly am, and of course, hoping to win some money for all our listeners out there as well. So this is how the next hour is going to go. We're going to open up the phone line. You've got a horse you really like. We're happy to bring you on. Try to sell Dan and I on it. Good friend of mine, Rob Massiello, you know Rob Massiello. I typically have Rob on each and every Triple Crown season. He's going to pop in around 2:15 with his pick, and Mark DiLorenzo is going to join us at 2:30. And so we'll have a ton of plays, and hopefully by the time the show is over at 3 o'clock, you're going to be so in the know, and you're going to have so much information on all these horses that are going to be racing. What's post time like? Close to 7 o'clock, right, Dan?
6:57 Eastern, to be exact.
6:57 p.m. Eastern. That is post time. All right, Dan, let's jump into it. Let's break it down. We're going to talk about all these horses. And we'll go by the post position. Okay. And so let's go number one, Known Agenda. Now, I really like this horse coming in until it drew the rail. I understand it's got a lot of speed. I understand that it's got a very good jockey who could game plan, but only once in 147 times has a horse won this race from the rail. What can you tell us about Known Agenda?
Yeah, the dreaded one post hasn't been great in recent history. This was a horse who showed a lot of recent upside, won the Florida Derby. Two races ago, they added blinkers to the horse, which essentially are basically, it's a face piece, which sounds like what it is. It you put it over the eyes, and it would block out the horses on either side of you, so it kind of keeps horses more focused. Since they added the blinkers to Known Agenda, he's been a completely different horse. And he really would have probably gone off probably as the second choice behind Essential Quality, who we'll get to in a moment. But because he drew that rail, currently I'm looking at the live odds. He's over 10-1 right now, which is insane. Because if you told people earlier this week Known Agenda was going to be 10-1 or higher, they would have told you, what are you smoking? But you know what? That rail really discourages people. I will point one thing out. Last year, Churchill Downs brought in a new starting gate, a starting gate that could hold 20 horses. Previously, they had a gate that held 14 horses, and then they had an auxiliary gate, an additional gate that was put next to that gate that held the remaining horses. What happened was the only way they could fit both gates in was that they would have to push that first gate closer to the rail, so it became tougher for horses breaking from the one post to get a clean run without getting shuffled back early. Now that you've got the one single gate, they're able to move it out a little bit more. So there's a theory that with this new gate, Known Agenda will not be compromised as badly as some people expect, and certainly not as badly as he might have in past years with the two gates. So look, if you like Known Agenda, you're certainly getting a good price right now, and you may not want to let that post position completely throw you off of them.
What's the line right now?
So the live line right now, I'm pulling it up and refreshing it here, is 11-1.
11-1. Wow, that's really, really, really good odds. All right, the two post, Like the King, 50-1. Any chance here or no?
So what I don't like about Like the King is that he's coming out of races on a different kind of surface. He wasn't running on a traditional dirt track. He was running over an all-weather track, which is a synthetic surface. Some horses really thrive over that surface, but they can't transfer that to the dirt. And so, he's got enough pedigree to potentially be in the mix, and there are some people who like him as a potential contender in the trifectas and superfectas, of course, where you're trying to pick the exact order of finish, the top three or four horses. In terms of a horse who could potentially win, I just don't see it with Like the King.
Brooklyn Strong at the three post, 50-1, and this is a horse that came in late and got the jockey, Umberto Pete, I can't pronounce his name too well.
Rispoli.
Umberto Rispoli, an Italian on jockeying the Brooklyn Strong. So I mean, nobody's really giving this horse a shot either, right?
Yeah, his odds are long. Right now, he's 40-1. Look, last year, coming into this year, Brooklyn Strong was a pretty highly touted horse. He won a race called the Renton, which is a pretty big race for horses in his division at that time. But it took him a long time to get back to the races in 2021. Usually, with sort of, you know, rare exception, you like to see these horses who are running the Derby having run a couple of times during that year. And so far, Brooklyn Strong has only had an opportunity to run one time. It was in a race called the Wood Memorial, which is a really big Kentucky Derby prep in New York. And he finished fifth in that race. He did have some excuses, could definitely improve a little bit off of that, and could be in the mix. But for my money, I think he's going to need a bit of a miracle. You mentioned the jockey, Rispoli. He was the rider of Rock Your World, who we'll also talk about in a moment, who's going to be one of the favorites. Unfortunately, he lost the ride on that horse. And so the owners here, it doesn't get much better than, again, the Italian jockey riding Brooklyn Strong. Forget about it.
Keep me in mind, 50-1, but some people like this horse as a long shot. Why?
Well, they like him as a long shot because if you project that the pace is going to be hot, meaning the horses, there are going to be a lot of horses up front battling for the lead, that's going to set up for horses that are sitting back and holding their run for late in the race. And keeping in mind is a horse who has done that in a couple of races last year in particular. He rallied to win or finish third or finish second in races where he was way, way, way back early, but the pace was hot. So if you're in the camp that you think that this race is going to be super hot pace, you got to like keep me in mind to potentially finish up in the end and get a little piece of it. And if you could get a little piece of it at his current odds, which are 46-1, your tickets, your exacta and your trifecta tickets are going to pay a ton of money.
Sainthood is the fifth horse. He's 50-1. But I want to go to Obesos. Right, which means kisses, because this horse is getting a lot of talk. They're calling this the wise guy horse. This is a lot of wise guys, or this is the hot horse for the wise guy. Why is that?
Well, I think he's a bit of a wise guy horse for a number of reasons. He's lightly raced, all things considered, and he started off in lesser competition, you know, just kind of getting his feet under him. He won those races impressively. And then in his most recent races, he hasn't won, but if you watch him visually, he makes a really nice move late every time. Sort of like Keep Me in Mind. He makes a very big finish every time. And again, if you project that the pace is going to be hot, then you got to like him closing into a little piece of it. The other thing is his sire or his father is a horse named Orb, who won the Kentucky Derby in 2013. He's got connections. When I say connections, I mean an ownership team, a team behind him that includes West Point Thoroughbreds, who have been here before. They won the Derby in 2017 with Always Dreaming. There are a lot of things to like. The big red flag with this one, the one thing I'll caution, is that the jockey is named Marcelino Pedroza. He's a good young rider. He's 28 years old, but he mostly rides on a smaller circuit, smaller track, has never been in the Derby, so he's got all the pressure in the world on him today, and it's tough to win in your first Kentucky Derby mount, especially on a horse who's already considered to be a long shot.
All right, the seven horse, Mandaloan, am I pronouncing that properly? The odds
I've heard
the
odds pronunciation.
What'd you say?
I've heard a million pronunciations on this horse. I've heard Mandaloan is the most common
Mandaloan
one.
I have this at 15-1.
Well, current odds have drifted up. The horse is now 28-1. So if you like Mandaloan, you're getting double the odds from what the morning line was. Churchill Downs, he's run well there. He's got one race. It was one of his better races early in his career. He then went on to really start this year off, like, really, really well. I mean, he was considered for a good time a horse that was going to be one of the top two or three choices. But what happened was, in his most recent race, the Louisiana Derby, he not only went off as the favorite, but he finished sixth in that race, and he finished behind three horses who were coming back in the Derby. One of them is Obesos, who we just talked about, and the other two we'll talk about in a moment, Midnight Bourbon and Hot Rod Charlie. So it's sort of a mystery as to why he ran so bad in his most recent race, but that's usually not a good sign heading into the Derby if you finish sixth and you've lost by, you know, a pretty big distance in your most recent race before the Derby.
The 8 horse, Medina Spirit, and this is a Bob Baffert horse, which, you know, obviously Bob Baffert typically does well at the Derby.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Baffert, obviously everyone knows, you know, he's won the Triple Crown. He's, you know, he's always there every year. But this is sort of the last horse standing for him. He had a couple of contenders, Life is Good, Concert Tour. Those were sort of the prohibitive favorites up until recently when they were, you know, pulled off the Derby trail for various reasons. But now he's got Medina Spirit. It's his last shot at kind of winning it this year. And I like this horse a lot. And we'll get into more of it a little bit later and how I'm structuring my bets. But remember I talked to you about the pace. And you got to always look at how fast are they going to be going early, how many horses are going to be battling for the lead. To my eyes, Medina Spirit is a horse who could potentially be by himself, alone on the lead, and if he could settle things down, I think he's got the ability to kick clear. The only horses he's really lost to are Life is Good, which was the big Baffert beast who was going to be the Derby favorite until he got pulled off the trail, and Rock Your World, who's going to be one of the favorites, who we'll talk about momentarily in this year's Derby.
Let's talk about the 9 horse, Hot Rod Charlie. I was on Daily Wager earlier today. We had Bear, Chris Felico, who was doing live shots from the Derby. So many people are on this Hot Rod Charlie. This is the hot horse right now. So I guess 2 questions. What are the odds? And why am I here? The last 24 to 48 hours, I'm hearing a lot about this horse. Why? What's changed?
So current odds right now are 6 to 1, which actually makes him the third shortest price in the race, so the third favorite in the race. Mm-hmm. That was not expected. Even though he won the Louisiana Derby in his most recent race, he lost to Medina Spirit a couple of races ago. He lost to Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. I can tell you why I think his odds have gone down. It's because he's a great story. He's owned by a group of former Brown University football players, just a bunch of kids. I could call them kids. They're 28 years old. They're a couple of years removed from college. And they bought into this horse as a way to keep in touch and to connect and to have something to do together after college. So they bought into this horse. And they have been on record as saying, we don't deserve to be in the Kentucky Derby. There are people who have tried for 20, 30, 40, 50 years to get to the Kentucky Derby, and they couldn't get there. It's crazy that we, just a bunch of kids here who didn't even know what the heck we were doing, we're now in the Derby. So we want to do some good with it. And what they've decided to do is they're going to donate a portion of whatever they make in the Derby to the Melanoma Research Alliance. That's a cause that's very central to them. And they're also supporting a young man named Jake Panis. And this is a personal tie-in for me and for America's Best Racing. Our president is Stephen Panis, Jake's dad. Jake sadly passed away last year just in a completely unexpected tragic accident last August. And we were all rattled and shattered. His dream, though, was to go to the University of South Carolina. And so in the months since, Stephen, and working with South Carolina and Coach Beamer out there and the football team, they've come up with a scholarship in Jake's name. And so what the team of Hot Rod Charlie is doing this week is raising money for about that scholarship. And they, the horse, Hot Rod Charlie, has been wearing a blanket for the past week or two with Jake's initials on it and with the University of South Carolina logo on it. So obviously near and dear to us and a sentimental favorite. And I think a lot of people have heard that story. And that certainly is probably reflected, I think, in the odds currently.
Wow. Wow, it's really, really, really amazing. And so understandably so many people are putting money on this horse and cheering for it to win. He is Dan Torgman. I am Anita Marks. This is our special Derby preview hour brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet, getting you ready. As Dan said, post time is 6:57 p.m.
Welcome back to a special edition Kentucky Derby show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. Now, here's Anita Marks. Welcome back to a special edition Kentucky Derby show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. Now, here's Anita Marks.
I love it. I love the music. Anita Marks and Dan Torgman from America's Best Racing. Dan, let's pick up where we left off, and that is Midnight Bourbon. This is the 10th horse. What can you tell us about this one?
What I can tell you is that people are betting the horse. The odds have come down from 20-1 morning line down to 13-1. And I think a big part of that is because the jockey is Mike Smith, who's probably the most recognizable jockey in horse racing, won the Triple Crown in 2018 with Justify. And now he's back with Midnight Bourbon, who finished behind Hot Rod Charlie and Mandaloon in the Mandaloon. I should get the pronunciation correctly in the prior race. And so he's always in the mix, and he's one who's going to be close to the pace. He'll be up front with them. I don't particularly love him, but obviously based on the betting, hey, people also bet in the name. What's better than Midnight Bourbon?
Not much. The 11th horse, Dynamic One. We have a very dear friend of ours who likes this as a long shot. Are you agreeing with that?
Yeah, I'm on board with Dynamic One. Very interesting horse. Is currently 40-1, so I mean, legitimately a long shot. Has one of the best riders in the country riding, Jose Ortiz, the brother of Irad Ortiz, who's going to be riding Known Agenda. He finished second to Bourbonic, who's a horse we're going to talk about in a little bit, in the Wood Memorial, that big Kentucky Derby prep race that I told you goes down in New York every year. He's a horse who's heading in the right direction for Todd Fletcher, who we know is an experienced Triple Crown trainer. All positive signs in terms of the team around the horse. And if you're looking for a horse who might be, going to peak at the right time, Dynamic One could be the horse. And all reports from the track this week is that he looked great in the workouts, which is basically the preparation before the race. He's looked great. So Dynamic One at 40-1, sign me up.
Helium at 12 is 50-1. Hidden Stash at 13 is 50-1. But I want to talk about Essential Quality. This is the horse coming in. The best two-year-old horse, went 5 for 5. The best now, a lot of people feel, the best three-year-old horse favored. But I was watching Hank Goldberg, again, did Daily Wager with me earlier, who said that this horse just has not been training well the last few days. Do you agree with that? Are you fading Essential Quality?
I'm not entirely fading him. Look, I think because of the fact that he hasn't looked as great in the mornings in those workouts that I've been taught that I mentioned a moment ago. I think because of those reasons, you have an opportunity to try to play against him to win. Now, if you're going to tell me he's going to finish 10th, I tell you out of your mind, because I this horse has just simply been too good to think that he's not going to be in the mix. He beat a horse in Highly Motivated. He's coming back to run in this race. He's the 17 horse. Now, Highly Motivated is a horse who seems to be improving race to race. The concern with Essential Quality is that he has essentially run flat. Like, we've seen him be a certain level of good, and he hasn't really gotten better. So that's the concern with Essential Quality. Like, is there any reason to believe that he's going to take another step forward here, as some of these others are, and be able to hang in and to win this race? And for the price that you're getting at 2-1, I think it's certainly worth taking a shot against him. He is 5 for 5. He's got a perfect record. And his one race at Churchill Downs, home of the Derby, was a win. So there's a lot to like, but there's also, from a gambling perspective, a lot to want to bet against.
I told you just moments ago, I really liked Known Agenda until it got the rail. And now I'm turning my attention to the 15th horse, and that's Rock Your World. This is a horse who's gone 3 for 3, had a great run at the Santa Anita, and Rosario is his jockey. So I'm high on Rock Your World. Are you as well?
Yeah, I think you've got to be. Look, he's only run three times. Again, I talked a moment ago about how you want to see a couple of races in these horses. You also like to see them race as two-year-olds. The first horse in 100-plus years to actually win the Derby, not racing as a two-year-old, remember a couple of years ago, Justify, but that's rare. It's still super rare to not race as a two-year-old and come back at three. That's what this horse is doing. Now, in fairness, he raced on January 1st, which for horses, they're all horses' birthdays are January 1st, so they all turn 3 years old on January 1st. So technically, had he run the day earlier, he would have run as a two-year-old. Anyhow, that aside, he's only run three times. His first two races were on the turf. They were both wins, but he was running on the grass. So different kind of surface, obviously, from the Kentucky Derby, which is the dirt. His first race on the dirt was that Santa Anita Derby, and he won like a good thing. I mean, there was really it was one of the most jaw-dropping performances we've seen this year by any horse. And so if you think that the three races are enough and that this horse is as good as he looked in the Santa Anita Derby, you got to bet him. And right now you're getting a pretty fair price. I think you're getting 5-1. You're getting 5-1 on him right now. You got to like that.
The 16th horse was King Fury, but that was scratched. You mentioned Highly Motivated just a second ago. He is the 17th horse that challenged Essential Quality in the Bluegrass Stakes. Big engine. But you know what I find really interesting is, and I know this trend is talked about a lot, that there's never been a horse that has won the Kentucky Derby out of the 17th post. Why is that?
So, look, I think it's just sort of a little bit of an anomaly just because, back in the day when they ran the Derby, they didn't always have 20 horses. In fact, they didn't always have 15 horses. Oftentimes, it was 10 horses or less. And so there just haven't been as many horses run from post 17 as have from post 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. And so I think that's part of the reason. But there have been horses who have won from post 15, 16, 18, 19, 20. And here's a little bit of something to consider as it relates to that post position stat. He won't be running out of 17 anymore. With the scratch of King Fury, they all come down a spot. So he will now be racing out of post 16. And it's the horse who is outside, Superstock, who is number 18, who's actually going to be racing out of post 17. So if you think there's a curse on post 17, it's now on Superstock, not on Highly Motivated.
It's like the Madden curse. A Superstock has it now. So just to put a big fat bow on previewing all these horses, you've got Superstock, Soup and Sandwich, and Bourbonic. The odds I have on all three of them were 30-1. Is there one in this threesome that you want to highlight right now?
Yeah, they're all in that range. Superstock is 32-1, so drifted up a little bit. The one taking the most money out of them is Soup and Sandwich at 25-1 currently. He's a horse that I like a lot. Also, only three races under his belt, finished second to Known Agenda in the Florida Derby. If you think that the three races are enough and he's got enough of foundation underneath him to actually make this new mile and a quarter distance, which these horses have never done before, if you think he could do that, then maybe you think he's got a shot here. I like him in my combinations, and we'll get to some of the bets in a little bit. I wouldn't totally overlook Soup and Sandwich.
No. And again, we've got Mark DiLorenzo, who's going to be joining us, and we're going to be doing an even deeper dive into the horses that both Mark and Dan like in the next 30 minutes. But before we go to break, I want to bring in our very good friend, Rob Masiello. I have him on typically during this time to highlight, preview, and recap the Triple Crown. Rob, welcome in. You are at the Derby, right?
Yes, I'm here right now. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic. We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to bring you on, and I wanted to get your pick, your play. How are you playing the Derby later on this evening?
You know, so I'm really going to lean on the two Todd Pletcher horses. They're both being ridden by the Ortiz brothers. I just think that they both, for different reasons, Known Agenda. He was 6-1 morning line. He won the Florida Derby, and he's drifted up to 11-1. And I think that that's mostly because of the fact that he drew the rail. And look, that can be a real issue sometimes. But he's got Iron Ortiz aboard, who's, I think he's the best jockey in the world. I mean, he's kind of one of these kids that was always in the top two or three jockeys the last handful of years. And I think in the last year or so, he's just kind of elevated himself to another level. So I'm willing to bet that he's going to work out a good trip.
I'll bet he's the best jockey.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been awesome. So, look, if he's 5-1, it's a different thing, but I feel like you're getting a little value there. The other horse I like is Dynamic One. He's ridden by Ired's brother, Jose Ortiz. He's just a horse that, you know, I thought he ran well in the Wood Memorial. You know, he got beat half a length right on the wire, but just a horse that he's one of those buzz horses here out in Louisville where he's just been training so well out here and just, you know, again, you have the Todd Fletcher angle and you know, just a horse you feel like is going to run a big race here. So those will be my two picks for the Derby this year.
Fantastic. Hey, enjoy the race. And great to hear your voice, Rob. Thank you so much. And joining us now as well as Mark DiLorenzo. So, Mark, welcome into the show. Really excited to have you. I guess first and foremost, what do you feel the biggest storyline is right now as we're just a few hours away from post time?
Anita, Dano, great to hear you guys' voices. Dano, I miss you. I missed you in Saratoga last year. Anita, happy Derby Day. Giddy up. Biggest storyline? There's a couple of storylines. You know, Bob Baffert's always a little bit of a storyline since he has such success in this Kentucky Derby. He kind of comes in with a horse that's getting a little bit under the radar in Medina Spirit. But I think that the biggest kind of storyline is Brad Cox is the favorite. Brad Cox, trainer, is now probably one of the best trainers in the country, and this is his first ever Kentucky Derby runner. Essential Quality is going to go off as the favorite and even a heavier favorite because of Mr. Mac. Mattress Mac putting, I think, close to $1 million on this horse to kind of hedge out some of his bets if the favorite wins in one of his promos that's going on. So he's going to be a very, very short price that I think could definitely win the race, but I'm not completely sold on him. I'm not definitely not going to bet him to win it, which is going to be an underlaid price of probably around 5-2, 2-1. I think there's a little bit more value in the race.
Hey, Mark, Dano here. Looking at the live odds, a couple of things stand out to me. Midnight Bourbon is taking a lot of action at 13-1. Want to know what you make of that. Hot Rod Charlie also taking action at 6-1. And when I'm looking at overlays, I see Highly Motivated at 11-1 and Known Agenda at 11-1. So start with the horses that are taking a lot of money that I think might be a little surprising. Are you interested in betting those horses? And then you could go into some of the horses that probably we might have both thought would have been shorter prices right now.
To start from the top, I guess the first horse that you mentioned would be number 10, Midnight Bourbon with Steve Asmussen, Mike Smith aboard. Mike Smith will take a little bit of public money because he's one of the more popular jockeys that are out there. The more I kind of looked at this horse, the more that I think that he fits in here. Taking money at 13-1, I would say is, you know, taking some type of live money, horses, owners, connections, trainers, even those Kentucky Derby Day, they like to wager. You like to see horses get bet a little bit. So at 13-1, I think that's a little too short. He has to improve on figures. Last time out, he sat a really nice trip and he had dead aim coming down the stretch. And it was just, you know, a little bit flat. I want a horse that's going to finish stretching out an extra furlong. He's going from 9 furlongs to 10 furlongs. The number one, Known Agenda. There's a good buzz about this horse. I guess you could kind of group this horse in with the other horse that you had mentioned in Hot Rod Charlie. There's a horse that is a kind of a turn that goes around that's kind of like the wise guy horse where people see a horse around the 7-8-1 odds and they say, you know, this is pretty good value, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's value at 7-8-1. I think a couple of these horses in here, like Hot Rod Charlie, like Known Agenda, Known Agenda draws the rail. They've changed the gate configuration at Churchill Downs, making the rail post a little bit easier. It gets to move out one post. I heard Dano, you say before about this, but the last 2 days at Churchill Downs, I do a lot of work tracking horses' trips and biases. And bias-aided tracks, meaning that there's certain paths on a race course that you don't want to be on. And the last 2 days on the dirt at Churchill Downs, you don't want to be on the inside or on the rail. There's only been one horse to win from the rail, and she was a big standout for Brad Cox yesterday in the ninth race. So Known Agenda drawing down on the inside is just another reason for me kind of to not like that horse. And in a 19-horse field now, it's going to take a lot of dirt down on the inside. It can win, but I don't see there being any value at 6, 7, 8-1, maybe in the 15+1 range if you wanted to use in horizontals. I can understand that. I bet this horse last time at 5-1 in the Florida Derby. I thought it ran well. I didn't think it ran great.
Mark, you mentioned the trips and the biases, and that leads to an important question right here. We know that all the information you need to bet on the Kentucky Derby, just like any other race, you're not going to find in the paper, right? In the racing form, you got to watch the races and how the track is playing. Is there anything you're seeing in terms of how the track is playing? You mentioned the rail is one place maybe you don't want to be, but how about in terms of, is the track favoring horses that are on the front end who have speed? Do you think it's favoring horses who are coming from off the pace? And if so, which horses does that benefit? Does that potentially benefit in the Kentucky Derby?
I would say that it's a bias-aided track right now, meaning that you don't really want to be down on the inside, but I still feel that it's not an extreme bias, which I would call like at a level five when I kind of rate them between one and five, where the best horse I think could still win if down on the rail. There are certain scenarios where there's horses that sometimes the track is playing heavily favoring towards horses that are be on the front end or horses coming from off the pace or on the outside. I think that there is a bias today, but it's not something that would completely change my opinion. So that's kind of answering that question. But at Known Agenda being down on the inside, that's going to be a tough post. The horses that are going to be drawn a little bit to the outside in the Kentucky Derby, Avoid Kickback. They're young, lightly raced, three-year-olds. You know, when horses get in front of them and dirt gets kicked up into their face, a lot of these horses have been against such lesser competition, they haven't had to deal with that before. They've always been on the front end. They've always kind of controlled and dictated the race. Today, that's going to be different. So there's a few horses in here that I kind of am against because of that. One of them being Known Agenda, a couple of the other ones being down on the inside, like number two, like the King, number three, Brooklyn Strong. There's a couple other horses down on the outside, Soup in a Sandwich. Bourbonic is going to take a lot of dirt. So I wouldn't say that I am focused more on horses that are going to be forwardly not placed on the rail, but it's definitely an advantage right now. And the two horses that I like the most in the Kentucky Derby, number 15, Rock Your World, number 14, Essential Quality, I feel are going to benefit slightly from how the track is planned.
Again, he is Mark DiLorenzo. I'm Anita Marks, of course, and Dan Torgman, who's joining me from ABR. I want you to marinate in this for a minute, Mark. I was on Daily Wager earlier today, and Hank Goldberg, of course, who we know very well in the horse racing business, had mentioned on the program that Essential Quality has not been training well the last few days.
Welcome back to a special edition Kentucky Derby show, brought to you by America's Best Racing. Visit americasbestracing.net, home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. Now, here's Anita Marks.